Just wanted to say thank you to the worship band. We were depleted by illness today, and they did a really good job. And thanks, Tom, for taking my position in the PA booth. That was really, really good. Okay. Mary had a word from the Lord a few weeks ago. What was that word? Well, at least a couple of you were listening. It was worth it. It was worth it. What do you mean you'd forgotten it? You gave it. Okay, we're all in trouble. Expectancy, or expect, or, you know, whatever that word means. So the question is, what do we expect to happen? I have something for you. It says, if you expect nothing, you will not be disappointed. If you come to church on a Sunday morning thinking, nothing's going to happen, God isn't going to speak to me, the word is going to be rubbish, the worship's going to be rubbish, everyone in there is not going to be very nice, you're not going to be disappointed. Correct. But if your expectancy is at ground zero, when you come to church on a Sunday morning, then you won't be disappointed. We need to come to church on a Sunday with our hearts brimming to overflowing with what the Lord is going to say to us on Sunday. And every day. It's not a one day a week thing when we suddenly put on our coat of expectancy and come to church. And then when we get home, we take it off again and we go through the week and we have a horrible week, you know, nothing goes right. And we put on our coat of expectancy and I'm a nice expectant Christian, I'm going to church. We're either 24 hours, 7 day a week, Bible believing, expectant Christians, or we're not. We need to be 7 day a week, 24 hour a day, Bible believing Christians, that the Lord is going to speak to us wherever we are, whatever situation we are in. And if we expect nothing, we'll get that. That's what we'll get. So, my question this morning is, what do you expect? I know some, I was waiting for Harry to say nothing. Thanks, Harry. Okay. What do you expect of yourself when you come to church? I can't do it. When the Lord asks you to do something, I can't do it. Send somebody else. I can't do it. I'm not good enough. Send somebody else. Turn to Exodus 3. Familiar story to you. It's a man in Scripture who said, I can't do it, send somebody else, in Exodus 3. His name was Moses. I've got a lot of Scripture to read today, so you won't have to listen to me for too long. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within the bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land and into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. What would our response be if we were the ones standing there in front of the burning bush? This is what Moses says. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.'" I'll leave it there, but you know that Moses carries on saying that he can't speak, he can't do this, he can't do that, blah, blah, and so on and so forth. And in the end, it's Moses and Aaron that has to go. So what would our response be if a bush that was burning in our back garden when we were doing our garden suddenly started talking to us? Surprised and shocked, but also this burning bush doesn't get eaten up. It's burning, yet the fire is not consuming the bush. Moses said, "Ooh, I'll go over and have a look at this strange sight." I think if it was me, I'd be thinking, something's not right here. And then when the bush starts talking to you and tells you it's God, Moses then has an argument with God saying, "Well, I can't do it. Please send somebody else." And how many times in church have you know that God has said something to you and you have said, "I can't do it. Please send somebody else"? God will send somebody else if you won't do it. But then you will miss out on the blessing that God had for you when you brought the message that God wanted to deliver through you. "I can't do it, send somebody else" means I haven't tried. And I'm not going to try. We all face situations in our lives which we're not comfortable with as Christians. That does not mean to say that we shouldn't be doing them. I hear people say, "It's not my thing." I love that phrase. It's not my thing. It's all of our things. We're all meant to be evangelists. We're all meant to be prophets. We're all meant to be teachers. We're all meant to be leaders. We're all meant to be healers. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God said each and every one of us will do greater things than he did. Not just the chosen ones. We are all given those giftings if we are prepared to seek them. So "I can't do it, send somebody else" is not an option. This is a better one. "I won't do it. I refuse." Turn to Jonah 1. The man in the Bible that said, "I won't do it. I refuse." The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fee, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee the Lord. And you know what happened in that story. It would have been much better for Jonah had he done what the Lord told him in the first place. He wouldn't have had to go through so much anxiety. I remember when I was working for Youth for Christ, we were working for a year in Southend. Some of you have heard this before, but it got to Christmas, and I had enough. I didn't think I could do it anymore. And so I rang up my boss then, which is Eddie Lyle, and I said, Eddie, I'm not coming back. I can't do this. I'm not going to do it. And as you do, you pour out all your troubles. And I was expecting Eddie to say to me, that's okay, Dave, it'll be okay. He said, you're wrong. Two words. And that's the only two words he responded to what I'd said. And I'm sitting there thinking, that didn't go well. So I went back, because he was right, and I wasn't. And we had the most amazing time. The second 6 months was so gracious. The Lord honoured me, even though I wasn't particularly honouring him at that particular time. We went back, we saw people coming to know the Lord. We saw God healing people. And we had an absolutely amazing time with the Lord. Would have been much better had I just gone back after Christmas. I wouldn't have had to go through the pain and anxiety. How about this one? I can and I will. So when the Lord asks you to do something, shouldn't our response be, I can and I will? Okay. 1 Samuel 17, verse 32 to 49. You can turn to it if you wish, but this will be another familiar story to you. This is the story of David. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to him, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put on a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened his sword over the tunic and tried walking around, because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in a pouch in his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearers in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with the sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. I'll stop there. You know the ending of that story. I can and I will. A little boy, or a young man, no bigger than a boy, takes on something so much bigger than himself. We face things that are bigger than ourselves every day. It should never be, I can't send someone else. I won't. It should always be, I can and I will. And we've heard before that if you talk to a mountain and tell it to jump into the sea, it has to obey you in Jesus' name. Church, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. When we are doing things in Bucky Doo, when we're doing things in the church, when the Lord is leading you to do other things, do them. Get involved. You're never too old to do something for the Lord. As long as I live and breathe, He is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And after I go home to glory, He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, so what do you expect of yourself? I can't, I won't, I can and I will. You'll like this next one. What do you expect of the church? Okay, it's not meeting my expectations, so I won't get involved with anything, but will sit on the sidelines and moan. The church doesn't reach what I think it should do. So I'm not going to get involved with it, but I am going to sit on the sidelines and give it grief. I've heard that before. Romans 16:17. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. Watch out for those who cause divisions or put obstacles in your way. 1 Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there would be no divisions amongst you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Matthew 12:25. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. I could go on, but I thought I'd just give you three. Find some more, because there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of scriptures which talk about being one in mind and spirit with one another. And how good it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. It's like the oil flowing over Aaron's beard. If it's not meeting our expectation, maybe we should question our expectation. Maybe we should be seeking the Lord more, not to have our own ears. How about, I will get involved wholeheartedly and make a difference. John 3:16 says, I will get involved wholeheartedly and make a difference. Second Timothy 1:9 says, sorry. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. I will get involved wholeheartedly because I want to make a difference. I remember a time Janice and I were in town. We were walking home. And there was a man of the road sat in the alleyway down where Waitrose is. For those of you who are visitors, Waitrose is at the other end of the town. Sat in the alleyway. And I was busy, as I am. So I'm grabbing her to Jan and saying, come on, come on. She said, no, no. So she walks over. Can I get you something to eat? And I'm stood up there going, we've got things to do. I had a problem. And so Janice went and got him a pasty and a cup of tea. And then we both sat down and had a chat with him. And it turns out he's ex-military, or was ex-military. I didn't realise the number of ex-military who end up on the streets. The number is phenomenal and quite shocking, really, and quite wrong. It shouldn't happen. Ex-military, and he was telling us his story, and he said it's the older people, so one up for the older people, who will sit and talk to me and have a conversation with me and find out my story. And it's the younger people that will scream insults and spit. And my heart broke. That guy was not there because he wanted to be there. He was there because of the circumstances. I can and I will, because I want to make a difference. That's why we're doing the kitchen out there, because we want to make a difference to the community of Bridport and those people that can't or don't have anything. We want to make that difference because we can. We can do it, so we are. Okay, how about this one? This is probably more nearer the mark. The church is not perfect, but it has great potential. And I'm going to do everything in my power to see the presence of the Almighty God displayed in this place. Thanks, Rita. I'm glad someone is. It's not perfect, because we are not perfect. Not one of us is perfect. We're going to glory by the grace of God and what he did on a cross for each one of us. But if we see the church is not perfect, but with great potential, and we need to do everything in our power to see the presence of God displayed in this place. Otherwise, what's the point of coming to church on a Sunday if we're not meeting with God? Are we just going through the motions? We come with an expectant heart to see God move in this place and move in our lives and challenge us to get out of the comfort zone and help the people that need it, to give them the good news. Psalm 133:1. I've already read that. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak. I'll leave that little bit out. It says, be patient with everybody. All right. Be patient with everybody. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. It isn't perfect. What's our expectation of God? Is it the Michelangelo painting in the Sistine Chapel where he's leaning out of the cloud going, "You!" Is it that he's got a stick in his hand so that every time we do something wrong, he's going to admonish us and punish us? No. Is our expectation of God that nothing will change? That's really sad. Or I eagerly await the promise and will go after God and search for that promise. Nothing will change, or I eagerly await the promise. Romans 8. I'll read just verse 28. And we know that all things God works for the good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be called the firstborn among the brothers and sisters. Those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. When you meet Jesus, things change. You cannot be the same. I can remember after I became a Christian, some old friends, we met up and they said, "Haven't you changed?" And you know what? I went, "Yes, I have. And this is why I've changed. I don't go out Saturdays and Fridays and get drunk anymore. And this is why. Because I've met someone who's better than that." Here's a good question. What does God expect of you? Micah 6:8 says, "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Psalm 1 verses 1 to 3 says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of living water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither." That's what the Lord requires of you, to walk humbly with your God. I've got loads more scriptures, but you can have a look at them yourselves afterwards. Here's a good one then. What does the Lord require of the church? Get on with it. Yeah. Oh, I love that. That'll do. I'm sitting down after that. Get on with it. No, I've forgotten to put the scripture reference. Some of you can tell me where it is. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Thank you. How about this one then? "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervour. Serve in the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, and I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You can find out what passage that of scripture that is at some point, and then you can meditate on it, because that's pretty much our Christian life in about 10 verses. So my question is, what do we expect? Because if we expect nothing, we'll get it. I want to encourage you to pray prayers that are dangerous. Pray dangerous prayers. In the sense that, you know, if I said, I pray that there's going to be cheddar cheese at the Plymans, that's not dangerous, because I know there's cheddar cheese at the Plymans because I've seen it. If I said, well, Lord, I really want you to bring in 20 homeless people to the Plymans, that's a dangerous prayer because we've only got about 10 minutes. Do you see what I mean? It's not praying prayers that you know that are going to be answered, because you already know the answer, but pray the prayers that you know fervently in your heart that God wants you to pray, and expect that God will answer them, because he says he will. We preach the truth, because the truth will set people free. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We need to live with that expectancy in our heart, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That is why we tell people. And if we don't do it, they may not hear. And then when we get to glory, God's going to say, well, why didn't you tell that person that I asked you to go and see? But we said, we couldn't do it, Lord. Please send someone else. We need to look after, encourage, and value one another. Because all of the parts of the body are required to make the body function. You can't run 100 meters on one leg. Well, they can now in the Paralympics. They just get you a false leg. But you know what I mean. The body of Christ needs to be functioning, and every part of the body needs to function. And we need to love one another no matter what. I've seen so many people, Christian leaders, that have fallen and been cast aside. And that's it. You've fallen, go away. We need to love them no matter what. Yes, there will always be consequences to our actions. There has to be. But we still need to love them and try and help them work through the problems that they have. We need to be the hands and feet and mouthpiece and heartbeat of Jesus in this town. Not just us as a congregation, but every Christian church in this town. And this needs to be a place where people feel safe to come and be. A refuge, a watering hole. This needs to be a place of safety. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Jesus says, come to me, all you are who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The more you read of this Bible, the more our faith and expectancy level should be rising. Because if God said that we would do greater things than he did, you've only got to read that. He did some pretty spectacular stuff. We should be doing the same. And we should be coming back week after week saying, well, this is what God did this week. Church, this is what God did this week. Get excited and passionate about what God is going to do through you. Or are we still, I can't do it. Please send someone else. I've said that in the past. In fact, I think in the past I probably said I won't do it. But the more we get to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our hard hearts need to be melted and moulded into his image, and our expectancy of what he will do through us should grow and grow and grow. I'll stop there. So my question, and I'll leave it with you, what do you expect? Because if you expect nothing, you won't be disappointed. Amen.